Psalm 110 is one of the most important texts in all the Bible. The importance of this psalm is seen in that this psalm is most often quoted in the New Testament. Jesus Christ specifically quoted this psalm in reference to himself in making the point that he was not just David's descendant, but he was in fact the Messiah and David's Lord. And we know this from these quotes that this is, as the superscription says, a psalm of David. In Matthew 22:41-46, the Pharisees were trying to trap Christ, and Christ asked them a question. What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? When the Pharisees said, the son of David, Christ quoted Psalm 110, which proved several things. He proved that this psalm was written by David, and that this psalm was an inspired psalm given to David, and that this psalm is a prophecy concerning Jesus Christ, and it proves that Jesus Christ has both Davidic humanity and divine deity. So Schofield said this psalm is a prominent psalm because it does many things. It affirms the deity of Jesus. It announces the eternal priesthood of Jesus. It historically begins with the ascension of Jesus Christ, and it gives prophetic insight into the return and judgment of Jesus Christ. And in this psalm, David is permitted to listen to a conversation between God the Father and God the Son. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, he's permitted to hear this remarkable discussion. And this psalm is a dream for those that would listen in. It's a private discourse between God the Father and God the Son. Lord Jesus Christ is presently seated at the right hand of God the Father and is told to sit there until a moment comes in the future when he will take charge of everything as a divine Messiah, King, Priest, and Judge. So as we look at this psalm, look at these communications that take place. First of all, that God the Father communicates his first message to Jesus Christ. Look at this. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people will offer themselves freely on the day of your power in holy garments from the womb of the morning. The dew of your youth will be yours. We see some things as we look at these verses. We see that Jesus Christ is Lord. Notice that the psalm opens with deity talking to deity, God talking to God. They realize that the Lord Jehovah was talking to the Lord Adonai. So this discussion is between members of the Godhead. God the Father is speaking to God the Son. Hebrew word says is one that is consistently used concerning divine revelation. And Jesus Christ is presently seated at the right hand of the Father. It's the most exalted position one could ever have. The throne of God is the Father's throne. The right hand is not just a position of honor concerning this throne, but it's actually a place of authority and power. Jesus Christ is presently occupying this position because the time of his ascension and the time of his second coming, he is quietly waiting for the moment when he will take charge of the world. And Jesus Christ will eventually have all enemies under his feet. Notice the enemies are Christ's enemies. All enemies of Jesus Christ will be humbled publicly, openly, and eternally. God the Father will make all enemies a footstool for Christ to trample with his feet. And enemies of Jesus Christ are destined for disaster. Every religious enemy, every political enemy, every educational enemy, every business enemy, every seen and unseen enemy will be trampled by Jesus Christ. And a footstool is a place where you rest your feet. Christ will not rest until all enemies have been eliminated. And Jesus Christ will eventually judge, reign, and rule from Jerusalem. It's a strong rod or scepter of slaughter and punishment that features conquest and punishment, which will gather all enemies for judgment. This judgment, this triumphant judgment, will proceed out of Zion, which is another name for Jerusalem. Jerusalem will one day be the center of all governments of the world. Jesus Christ will reign with his people. First time Jesus came, the Jewish people did everything but willingly submit to him. But when he comes the second time to rule and reign, all his people will freely and willingly volunteer to submit to him and dedicate themselves to him. People will be on Christ's side from the day they are born. Babies and young people will serve him willingly. There will be no rebellion against him. But then God the Father communicates this second message to Jesus Christ. In verses 4 through 7, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He will shatter kings in the day of his wrath. He will execute judgment among the nations, filling them with corpses. He will shatter chiefs over the wide earth. He will drink from the brook by the way. Therefore, he will lift up his head. God's word will not ever change concerning these matters. God has entered into a serious verbal and legal promise with himself and with his son and with his son only. There will be no other mediator or king. God has sworn he will not change his mind about the fact that his son is coming to trample all enemies and reign as King of kings and Lord of lords. Nothing will ever prevent this from happening. And Jesus Christ is a priest forever. Christ is a priest according to the order of Melchizedek, who is a very mysterious and unique individual in the Bible. He did not have any pedigree. To be a priest, one needed to be in the Aaronic line, and to be a king, one has to be a Davidic king. Melchizedek was the king of Jerusalem and priest of the Most High God. And that unique feature of the Melchizedek priesthood was that he was both a king and a priest. And it's predicted that Messiah would hold those two offices, priest and king, Zechariah 6:13. Jesus Christ is Melchizedek because he is a king and priest forever, who offered himself as a sacrifice. Furthermore, Jesus Christ had no beginning, no end. Although he literally did come through the line of David to be king, he also will be the great high priest. And Jesus Christ is presently at the right hand of the Father and as king priest waiting for the finale of God. Jesus Christ will shatter kings in the day of his wrath. It's a very serious prediction concerning political leaders who move their constituency away from God and his word, from Jesus Christ, and into hatred of Israel. Jesus Christ will judge all the nations. Jesus Christ will judge the nation specifically in regard to how they treated Israel. Keep in mind, Jesus Christ himself is Jewish, and the nations will be called to face it. And Jesus Christ will fill the nations with corpses. First time Jesus Christ came to the earth, he was a sacrificial lamb. The next time he comes, he is coming as a lion. Jesus Christ will shatter the leaders of the United and this massive country. The chief men probably refer to people that will follow the political leaders of that day. Those leaders who promoted false things will be destroyed. Notice the dimension is over a broad country. This word refers to the fact that many politicians cover a massive amount of land. They're going to be destroyed. And Jesus Christ will continue to refresh himself as he continues his judgment. Jesus Christ will physically be here on earth as a person who can drink. There'll be no angelic spirit being. Christ will literally be here. He will literally do these things. He will literally drink from brooks and literally pursue and judge his enemies. He will track down every single enemy and pause for refreshment. Jesus Christ will be exalted. He'll one day be lifted up as the great high and mighty God. He'll lift his head high. And this psalm allows us to listen into this remarkable discussion because God the Father and God the Son are talking. And it's evident that God the Father is telling God the Son what will ultimately happen, and he will come to reign and to judge.